Tansy, do you know what day it is today?
It is the first day of winter, and it'll be later than that when this goes out.
Well, not by that many days, but no, it's something else today. See, today
Today is
is
gonna
gonna
be the
be the
day
day
that I'm
that I'm gonna
gonna throw
do a
it back
pitch
to
for you.
you.
I'd like
By
to quit
now,
this
you should have seen
podcast.
how you realize what you gotta
You want
do.
to quit this podcast?
I don't
I have been
believe
listening to this song
anybody
for like a
feels the
week
way
and a
I
half.
do about you
I can't.
now.
I just, every time I go to listen to it, I would just get like stupefied
And
by
all
how
the
nothing
answers
the
are
lyrics are.
winding.
Anyway, I'm pitching
And all
Wonderwall.
the lies I
It's a fun
need
times
is that
request episode.
reminding.
Shout out to Lauren, and also how dare you make me do this.
Things that I would like to say to you, but I don't know how. Because maybe
I'm Tansy.
And I'm Charles.
And this is Pitch Shift. It's a podcast where we take a song and pitch a movie based on that song. And we're doing a request this week. Otherwise, we would not be doing Wonderwall.
Indeed. Yes, this request came from Lauren Pierce on Twitter. Lauren has previously also requested an episode. She was one of the two requests in the first request episode that we did. She requested, what's the name of the fucking song?
I'm going slightly mad.
I'm going slightly mad.
Yeah.
Same though. And the song was called that too. And so this time I said, you can't request another Queen song. And then so Lauren clearly took that and was like, okay, challenge accepted, and just sent me an email that said, do Wonderwall.
Yeah, normally at the start of the episode we talk a bit about the song, but I feel like Wonderwall is so nothing, there's not much to say.
Yeah. It was
it's a song. It's
yeah,
Wonderwall.
It's Oasis, was written by Noel and performed by Liam. Noel has at various points in his life said that it was about his at the time that he wrote it, his girlfriend who then became his wife, but then when they broke up, he said it was never about her at all. And it was saying it's about an imaginary friend who saves
that
you from yourself.
That is the song equivalent of getting your tattoo adjusted to say Wino forever.
Yes, and then it's also been said to be about. Yeah, so he was like, it's about, you know, I'm talking to myself, I'm my own imaginary friend.
I'm my own imaginary friend? That's just your internal monologue.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Noel Gallagher, like.
That's just your internal monologue, Noel. Everyone has that voice in their head.
And also, some people have said that it's about a relationship with his imaginary friend, who is actually Paul McCartney.
Okay, look, I'll give him that. The internal monologue is rarely Paul McCartney for other people. It is for some people. Paul McCartney, definitely.
But the thing about it is that all of those like potential readings of it are plausible because
the song
the
means
lyrics
nothing.
Are meaningless.
Yeah, it's like
you know?
Walk of Life.
All the roads we have to walk are winding and all the lights that lead us there are blinding. It's like, no shit, Noel. No shit.
Noel, stop looking at the sun. It's bad for your eyes.
Yeah, the lights are blinding.
He was blinded by the light. I'm just going to use this episode to refer to better songs at any opportunity.
Great. I mean, that's great. I mean, apparently, so the title of the song was taken from a film called Wonderwall that George
that
Harrison did the soundtrack for, and that was called Wonderwall Music, so I think it was also inspired by that.
Yeah. I've told you, I think I've talked about it on the podcast, the script I had to read about Eric Clapton and George Harrison.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, and I thought it was Eric Idle and I got very confused.
Yeah, that would be confusing.
Yeah, the first couple pages I was like, I didn't realize he did such serious music sometimes.
Since when was that guy really good at blues guitar?
Yeah. Why was he so into cocaine?
Yeah, since when did that guy write that really sad song that makes parents cry because it's about your kid dying?
Oh, is that what
That's what Tears in Heaven is.
Oh,
he wrote it about.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, not to
anyway,
bring things down.
Yeah. Anyway, kids dying. All right. Look, we've already spoken about two much better songs, Blinded by the Light, Tears in Heaven. I'm going to build a playlist. This will be my playlist episode.
Yeah, great.
Playlist for Dad.
So before I pitch, I want to take you on a quick little journey of how I got to the pitch that I'm pitching.
Okay.
Because I had a couple of other ideas first.
Can I ask before we get into this, is this going to be a tight little let's get this out of the way kind of pitch, or is this going to be in animals?
Oh, no, I think it should be pretty straightforward.
Okay.
It's one of those ones where I'm like, is this a whole movie?
Okay.
Or is this not that?
It don't need to be a whole movie.
Yeah. I think it's a whole movie.
Yeah, look, the pilot that I wrote today, I was like, this doesn't have a B plot. And I'm like, sometimes your pilot doesn't need to have a B plot.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
It's all about that A.
Things that are not having a B plot are better. It's the worst adaptation of that quote. But anyway.
I was going to say, you just completely ruined that beautiful Freckle moment.
Oh, I'd like to apologize to Freckle and the trans community.
On behalf of Freckle and the trans community, apology not accepted.
Okay, anyway, I'll cancel myself.
Good. Yes. Self-crit and self-ban.
There's going to be no noise on the other side of the mic for the rest of the episode. I've been cancelled, guys. They came and took my microphone.
Oh, if I just pitched it to myself. I mean, that would make it like Noel Gallagher singing a song to himself. Anyway,
to his imaginary friend who is himself.
So yeah, the first idea that I had was, I was like, what if you did the film Yesterday, but it was about a world where Oasis never existed?
So that is a part of the plot to Yesterday.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I was like, what if it had nothing to do with the Beatles? It was just Oasis that never existed.
That's and also then the moment in Yesterday that completely undermines the logic of the entire film, and it broke my brain watching it.
Yeah.
Because they're
no, exactly.
Because can I go on my Yesterday rant?
Sure.
Okay. They so clearly established that Main Boy and Lily James met when he played Wonderwall at a school talent competition, and she was like, "I'll be your manager." And then they had this cute ongoing romance thing. And then
if there was no Wonderwall?
Yeah, in the non-Beatles universe, there's also no Oasis,
so they wouldn't know each other.
So within that universe, they should not be friends. And
or
it was
it's
like
that he played an early Coldplay song, and because Coldplay still exists, and that's the joke that they keep coming back to.
So the original version of Yesterday, how there's really egregious Ed Sheeran ongoing cameo?
Yes.
Yeah, it was meant to be Chris Martin.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
But so Chris didn't want to do it?
I don't know if it was that he didn't want to do it or he wasn't available, but there's so many jokes about how everyone loves Coldplay that would have played very differently if he was in the movie.
Yeah. I feel like, he seems like the kind of person that would have enough kind of self-awareness that he'd be in on that joke. That's the thing that makes me not hate Ed Sheeran as much as I could.
Yeah, I think
he clearly understands he's the joke.
Yeah, the bit where his ringtone is Shape of You, that is a better joke than anything that he will ever create again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our Yesterday Side podcast.
It's a podcast, Yesterdon't.
We've now spoken about Blinded by the Light, Tears in Heaven, and Yesterday. I am building a dad playlist.
But it's not Yesterday. It's today. It's going to be the day that I'm going to fuck. So I was like, what if I did that? And the joke was that nothing changed. But you can't build a pitch out of that.
It's just a very wholesome rom-com that is just absolutely played straight. And occasionally they mention that Oasis doesn't exist.
Yeah, and there's less bar fights happening at one in the morning in the middle of Brixton or whatever. The thing that was my saving grace through this is not the one that saved you. Yeah, that's from the song.
I sing that.
Basically, this is just a fun thing that I want to share. But the thing that I found was a cover done within a year of when the song first came out by the Mike Flowers Pops.
It's a far
superior
one.
Version. Oh, but the funny thing about that cover is that apparently Liam Gallagher heard it in a store one day and was like, Noel, did you fucking steal Wonderwall from a 60s band? Did you fucking steal the song? And Noel was like, it's a cover, you dipshit. They covered us.
If it weren't them, who do you think would do the ultimate cover of Wonderwall?
So I keep wanting to hear like a pop punk version of it.
Like I want to hear Panicking at Discos.
Like a Paramore even, or like
Paramore could be
that
good.
Like early 2000s kind of Secondhand Serenade like vibe.
Yeah.
I could see that, or like an All American Rejects cover. Like,
can I throw out who I was listening to in the early 2000s, who I also think would do a great cover of this? Enya.
That's interesting. Yeah, that sort of ties into,
because the lyrics are so like meaningless horoscope bullshit that they could be an Enya song.
Today will be the day. That they'll throw it back to you.
Isn't she like emerging from her castle full of cats now, and everyone's like, no, Enya, go back.
Stay hidden. Should have put Enya in this. Enya
too good for this world, too pure.
Yeah. So where I went with this is I'm imagining that this film would be directed by Robert Eggers of The Lighthouse? And The Lighthouse, yeah.
Okay.
So like super, super well-researched
historical
horror fiction, etc. That's where I'm going.
So everyone talk weird?
Yes, everyone talk weird. But I'm not going to talk weird because I don't fucking know how to speak in Middle English.
Cool, because I feel like regardless of what period of time I'm writing in, I write in exactly the same voice, which is much like Dan Gilroy, not how real people talk.
I love Dan Gilroy. Yes. No, this will be too real of how people talk, to the point where it'll have all the complaints that the Vavitch and the Lighthouse got, which is like, I can't fucking understand it without subtitles. They're not even like speaking English.
Imagine telling on yourself like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be very, you know, did you make some unholy bond with that goat kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got a young prince.
Like as in soon to be king, not as in Purple Rain.
Soon to be king, not Purple Rain. I don't
Throwing
really
Purple
have...
Rain into my dad playlist.
Yes, good. That's another song that, oh God, that song makes me cry every single time. Anyway, so I don't know who the actor is. In my head, the aesthetic is kind of like Timothy Chalamet in David Michaud's terrible Henry film. What's that film called?
It's
is that called The King?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought, I don't know. I guess it was called The King.
I'm pretty sure it's called The King.
But yeah, so it's that thing where I'm like, it could be Timothy Chalamet.
But it doesn't have to be.
Don't want it to be Timothy Chalamet. It's just, it needs to be like someone who, you know, exudes like youthful potential, but also like an annoying level of like fucking privilege.
My brain just went to like Kendall Roy in Succession.
But yeah. I'm trying to avoid that.
What about Greg?
Nicholas Braun.
I don't know what that actor's called.
Nicholas Braun is that? That could work.
We're gonna make a tomlet. We're gonna break a few Gregs.
Yeah, we're gonna break that Greg. I mean, we're gonna break this Greg. Let me tell you.
Cool.
Anyway, so okay, like for now, let's say that. If you have any other ideas as we're going on, chuck them in there. Okay. Yes. And so the family name is Gallagher.
Cool.
But he's Prince John. And his family are like head of the like kingdom or the city, or like, you know, there's a kind of a walled off citadel, a wonder walled off citadel, if you will.
We're just going to shoot in Dubrovnik because they have those great tax breaks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of people who see this movie are going to be like, this just looked like Game of Thrones. Okay. So the prologue is all like silent, no dialogue, kind of slow-mo, very, like, you know, kind of pitched battle happening in a destitute-looking throne room. Mm-hmm. I want the score of this to be, I can't remember her name, but did the score for Joker and won the Academy Award
Hilda Gorin's daughter? I think that's it. She got one of them names where it does, like, your gender and your last name.
Yeah,
but sort of I'm imagining low, rumbly, like slow push in as slow-mo is happening.
Yes. Yeah. And like it's, you know, it's I mean, just get her to do it all on the cello like she did for Joker.
Mm.
Except that it would match this film better than it matched Joker. Yep. Anyway, that's enough about Joker. And so we see our prince, Nicholas Braun, battling with a, you know, a much bigger, stronger soldier.
A beefy boy.
a beefy boy, yes. And there are, you know, others fighting around him. And you can see that the soldiers that are all kind of carrying his colours or whatever are pretty much all dead. They've been killed by men who are wearing, you know, a different sigil or the king's sigil or whatever. Yeah. And so finally he's defeated and he's brought to his knees. And the soldier who's he's been fighting kind of, you know, goes to, like, strike him down and kill him. But then he's pushed aside by an old man wearing a crown. The man is Christopher Plummer.
Yes.
And the prince looks up to the king, his father, and, like, is kind of, like, a, you know, in the process of trying to accept his death. But the king smiles and just, like, shakes his head, like, no.
So, sorry, has the king pushed aside the prince so he's taken a killing blow, or has he pushed aside the man who was going to kill the prince?
He's pushed aside the beefy boy.
Okay, the beefy boy.
Yeah, he was like, step aside, my most beefy,
beautiful beefy boy.
True rowdy boy.
I wish this beefy boy were my son instead of you.
This the beefy boy is played by Griffin McElroy, just in a massive, like, muscle suit.
Just a rowdy, dirty boy.
He's just standing there being like, I am quite the beefy boy.
You want a big boy? You want a little boy?
A big boy.
Yeah, that's what Christopher Plummer wants. He wants a big boy.
So Christopher Plummer King has defeated the beefy boy.
Yeah, just by being like, can you step aside?
I imagine this is quite serious, but, like, I'm just ruining it for you.
No, I mean, you could ruin away. It's like serious, but it's inherently silly what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So
it's still Wonderwall.
Yeah, we see the prince. The king shaking his head, and it's like, oh god, like, what could he possibly have planned? And the next thing that we see is that the prince has been banished from the castle. He's been cast out. You know, they take him beyond the city's walls, the citadel walls, and they're like, right, there you go, you're banished. Have a nice life.
Have a shit one.
Yeah, have a shit one. And all he's got is his trusty hound with him.
Doggo. Who's playing the dog?
I for a little while was thinking that I was going to have to ask you to begin this episode with a warning for, you know that website,
does the dog die?
I thought you were going to have to, and then I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, okay, so yeah, we see, yeah, like, his beloved hound and him are both banished, and the gates close, and then we cut to black and we get the title card, the Verwundervol. The Verwundervol. By Robert Eggers. See, again, there's that thing where I'm like, it's serious, but it's also very silly.
Yep.
And so, okay. Yeah, we follow our prince then through basically what is kind of, like,
series
this sequence would be like a kind of extended sequence, but, like, he's basically, like, traipsing through, like, slums of other people who've been cast out of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Because, and he's, like, confused by this, because it's like, I thought we put people, you know, like, I thought we were putting,
banishing,
like, criminals and stuff in
prison,
or we were killing them, or we were, you know, burning them, or putting them in a lake. But, you know, what are all these
Look,
people doing
I don't
want
to make it all Del Toro Quest, but that is a big part in Del Toro Quest.
Okay.
Continue.
Well, I mean, Del Toro Quest, I think, is a better comparison than, say, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because there's a whole thing in Del Toro Quest about how they actually leave the castle and then it's like, oh shit, there is famine everywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, there's an ongoing theme about, like, sure, you banish the Dark Lord, but how do we make sure that the royalty won't become disconnected and out of touch and lead us into the same Dark Lord bullshit again?
It's got, yeah, it's more politically sound than Game of Thrones.
What I'm saying is Jasmine is an anti-monarchist queen and I love her because she does literally become queen by the end of it, but
and
it's
that has
still
been,
like, viscerally anti-monarchist.
And that's been this episode's Detour Quest. So yeah, we follow him through that. We see him, like, people recognize him as being
Le
the
Prince.
Snivelling heir to the throne who would arrest people and have them kicked out to please his cruel father.
He'd probably be someone who, like, would kick a dude after he'd been arrested by beefy boys and be like,
yeah,
justice.
Ha ha. Yeah, so, like, you know, people start throwing things at him. He's, like, robbed or attacked. I feel like someone takes, like, they take his dog and it's like, no, they're going to kill my dog. And it's like, no, we're going to look after this dog. This is a good dog. This is our hunting dog now.
Yeah.
You know, and you overhear people talking and it's like, you know, like, backbeat, the word is on the street. the king's son is fucking weak sauce. Weak sauce is all fucking hell. And they say that in, you know.
Yeah, in old English, they kick him and call him a cock.
Weak sauce. The sauce is weak. Yeah, and so he's like, you know, he's having a really terrible time.
He is truly having a shit one.
Yeah, he's having a real shit one. And then he meets a couple and their young child, and he thinks, oh my god, I don't think they recognize me. And they're like, you know, hello friend, like, do you need dinner? Do you need the fire? You know, come get warm and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. These two are their names are Lynn and Noah, mm-hmm. and they are played by Gugu Mbatha-Raw and Henry Golding.
Can I suggest some different names?
Yeah.
Okay, Lynn. And then the baby is Miranda, and the guy is Manuel.
Okay, I thought you actually had a serious suggestion.
I solely exist to make your life worse.
I love it.
So Henry Golding and Gugu Mbatha, I'm already on board.
I did think that you would like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and they're, you know, he kind of sits with them, and as they're eating, he's like, so what's your story? How'd you guys end up out here? And they tell the story of how, you know, our families didn't want us to be together.
Our lands were seized.
Yeah, all of that kind of thing. Had a baby out of wedlock, blah, blah, blah. Boom, we got banished.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, that's awful. Like, usually for stuff like that, we just put people in prison for life. And they're like, excuse me? And he's like, I didn't say anything. And then, you know, it eventually turns out that they're like, no, we know who you are.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, why did you help me? And they're like, because it's, you know, it's cold out here and and the roads are winding. And the lights can be blinding. And he's like, what? And they're like, anyway, you can sleep here tonight. Mm. And then we'd like you to kind of move along, please. Mm. So that night he has a nightmare where mm-hmm. he's walking through a pitch black kind of forest. And we can see like the flashing of the eyes of like some kind of unknown beast.
In the woods somewhere.
In the woods somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, another song for the playlist.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he'll sort of come to, like, a large white tree that stretches all the way up to the sky,
mm-hmm.
and there's, like, you know, vines, like, red kind of vines curling around it, and then they're curling around him, and he's being strangled by it, yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, the kind of culmination of the dream is that just this, like, hail of bodies, like, dead bodies just, like, hits him and, like, covers him.
Yeah.
Like, you know... Like in the dream, that they really let the bodies hit the floor. and he wakes up and he's like, oh God. Yeah, so the next morning, he doesn't really, he's kind of looking for like, he's like, maybe I can find someone who can help me get back,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like prove to my dad, or like try again to take down my dad, because he's dumb.
Yeah.
And so then in his kind of roamings, he meets a young man whose name we learn is Mort.
He's in a big black cloak. He's holding a scythe.
Yeah, not quite, but he's like very kind of like resplendently dressed in the Mad Max kind of way, where it's like, I put a bunch of scraps together and now I'm the fucking
king of
high priest of the outside lands.
Mm-hmm.
He is played by Daniel Monks, son Daniel Monks.
Your beautiful son Daniel Monks.
My beautiful, beautiful boy.
My perfect boy.
And the character has like a scar running down his face over one eye.
Mm-hmm.
Like as in it runs the length of his face through where his eye is, but
Right. Yep.
Yeah, the eye's not the important bit. The important bit is just the big old scar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mort kind of negs him a little bit. I don't have a full idea of what the scene is, but basically, like, Mort would, like, neg him a little bit and, like...
Beholdeth, you are pretty for a pleb.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of that. And it's like, well, and, you know, John's kind of like, what's your story? What happened to you?
Mm.
And his story basically... Because the other thing is that he's like, hello, you know, nice to meet you. I'm a priest and a prophet. And he's like, that's not true. Is that why you got kicked out of... Is that why you got banished? And he's like, no, I got banished for being a thief and a degenerate. Yeah, so he's not like an ordained priest in any sense, which is what he thinks is that it's like, oh, so what, you like declared yourself.
You made your own religion.
You know, you were like a heretic, basically. And he's like, no. I was a thief and a degenerate. Code being that Mort is a gay.
Yes.
And which also he's like, wait, why do they banish you? Because they probably should have killed you for that. Like instead of like what? He just has trouble reacting to anything.
Yeah.
In a way that will make people not hate him.
He really is Greg.
Yeah, he really is Greg. That night he has a nightmare again.
Yeah.
Same nightmare again.
Yeah.
Like it escalates in some way. It's like I feel
maybe
like
it would
very...
be that the first time round you just see something hit him and then he wakes, whereas this time he starts to drown in bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To let the bodies hit the floor.
Yeah. Also on the playlist.
Yeah. yeah, and it's all very kind of like impressionistic, very like you're like, what do these images mean? Kind of like in The Lighthouse or in parts of the Vavitch.
Yeah. You're searching for meaning. It's making
you
work.
And the next day, like, I feel like he probably has, like, one more interaction with someone who it's like, oh, damn, you got mistreated. That was my dad. My dad is a bat. But basically he like, the next day he's kind of like, okay, cool. No, I think I know how I'm going to get out of this. And so he gathers everyone together and, again, in Middle English is like, cool, okay, so my dad's fucked.
Revolution time.
I agree with y'all. He's fucked. I don't like what he's done to you guys, but, like... if you guys want to, like, help me, we could, like, go get into the castle and, like, take him down. And, like, I'm not going to be like him, you know, I'm not going to banish people.
Just make me your king.
Just, yeah, basically. And they're like, fuck no, you're a dick.
Yeah.
And also, do you not know the whole thing about the fact that the walls are impenetrable? He's like, well, no, I know the walls are impenetrable, but, like, surely they're not, like, impenetrable. And he's like, they're kind of like, what do you think you've been... Like, what do you think you were about to be taking over? You clearly don't know anything about
the Wonder
what's going on here.
The Vavundervavol.
Like, yeah, the Vavundervavol. And so, you know, most of the common folk are kind of like, yeah, no, we fucking hate you, dude. Like, we don't want to help you. And also, it's literally impossible. And he doesn't understand why. And then finally Mort is like, okay, look, if you want to understand, I'm going to take you to see Mira.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, who's Mira? And then this is so silly. Everyone starts chanting, like, ah, the wonder of the wall. The wonder of the wall. Mira, of course, is a name that means, like, miraculous or wondrous.
Mm-hmm.
So she's Mira, the wonder. And
she lives on
and
the wall.
She lives outside the wall.
Yeah.
Yep, so he's kind of like, okay, fine, take me to see this miraculous
wonder
woman. So John follows Mort through the woods into the night and, like, starts realizing, oh shit, we're in my dream. And you know, Mort is kind of, like, echoes the thing that Lynn and Noah said to him that first night of, like, you know, he's like, kind of, be careful, you know, watch out, like, because the road we walk is winding and the lights will soon be blinding. Yeah, and so, like, he kind of keeps chanting that. It's all very eerie. All of a sudden, Mort disappears. But the chanting kind of continues and it's kind of coming from, like, everywhere around him. And mm-hmm. he feels like he's seeing those, like beastly eyes everywhere. And it's like, oh, God, you know, I'm in the dream. It's all gonna... And he comes to the big tree and it's like, oh, shit. Like, and then instead of the bodies hitting the floor, a woman kind of emerges from the tree. Mm-hmm. Like, she's been, like, part of the tree and, like,
yeah,
you know, the clothes she's wearing, like, match the color of the bark and, like, her hair kind of looks like the leaves of it. And,
yeah,
like,
she'd be covered in lichen. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, up and down her limb, she's got, like, kind of, like, stark red lines like the vines from the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of like, ah, 'twas you that I dreamt of.
yes, the woman of my dreams.
Yes, it was you. You were in the dream. And she's kind of like, yeah, you know, I've been waiting for you for a long time. I've been waiting for a long time to meet the prince who would bring down the wall. And he's like, me? What? Oh, sick. Like, like, he's like, what does that mean? And she's kind of talking about, like, you know, there's like, legend has spoken for hundreds of years about the prince who would bring down the wall, who would be broken and blinded, but would set the people free, blah, blah, blah. And he's
broken,
like, oh,
blinded,
that doesn't...
and winded.
Yeah, blinded and winded. he's like, oh, I don't really like the sound of that. But before he can kind of get into it, he's interrupted by the appearance of a cat who kind of jumps to Mira's shoulder. Mm. The cat, for no reason that is related to anything, has a scar over one of its eyes.
For no reason whatsoever.
The hard thing about pitching these is that, like, like it's hard to, because you have to give the information verbally instead of being able to put something in very very subtly visually.
Yeah, no. So it's that thing where that. I was you like, have to I say, can't. Like, this is your setup.
Yeah, it's like I can't not mention the fact that the cat has a scar on its eye. But in mentioning it, everyone's going to be like, yeah, like he said about the other guy. Anyway, so
I find burying it in a joke is the best way to do planting and payoff.
It's also one of those things where I feel like, again, like The Witch and like The Lighthouse, people come out of this and they're like, that wasn't that scary. Or like, oh, you could tell from the beginning that this actually meant like this. And it's like, that wasn't, the big twist wasn't really the point.
Yeah.
But yeah, the cat comes to her and she's like, okay, you better come inside. Like, let's talk.
Get in my tree.
Yeah. And so she comes into it's like a little hut under the tree. And he's like, why do you have, like, if you have this, why are you like in the tree? And she's like, cause I wanted to be in the tree. Fuckhead. Like,
why would I not be in the tree?
There's another version of this that's not directed by Eggers. That's like still set in medieval times that like who directed, A Knight's Tale?
I don't know the director's name, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So they're sitting in this little thing, little like hut, and she's got the cat and blah, blah, blah. And she explains that she's a witch. Mm-hmm.
Guessed that. Like, should that be a surprise?
No.
Okay, yeah.
But like, it's the kind of thing that you kind of, like, he needs an explanation. He's like, what's going on? What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What is you?
She's like, I'm a witch. Yeah.
You know, I escaped here when the burning started, because this is set like, you know, it would be set like early 1500s after that kind of wave of witch burning. But yeah, so, and she like alludes to the fact that she's older than she looks, and she talks about remembering when the prince was born, and he's like, well, that's weird.
Yeah. Do you have an actor for her?
Oh, yes. Sorry. I completely forgot to mention. Lupita Nyong'o.
Hey. Love her. Love her so much.
And she kind of alludes to this idea that, like, you know, I remember when you were born. I remember, you know, in my family we'd always heard a story about the one who would save us.
You're going to be the one who saves me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I wondered at that moment whether that would be you. And, you know, that whole conversation happens. It's that thing where I'm like, there's a bunch of conversation that happens.
Don't bother with dialogue. Just give us what actually is said.
Yeah. And so he explains kind of what happened to him at the beginning of the film. Like, you know, I was supposed to take over from my dad.
And my dad and then gave me a shit one.
Yeah, yeah. And like, it's like that thing where it's like, he's not actually the firstborn son, but the older brother had disappeared on a hunt and was presumed dead, something like that.
Yep.
Dad pulls a Logan Roy. And so he tries to overthrow it, because he's like, you know, the realm was at risk, so I had to overthrow my dad, except that I failed because I'm a big, stupid, dum-dum.
Is there any chance he's maybe a bastard or something like that? Or is that giving him too much sympathy?
I think it's like maybe like second bride, son of second wife.
Yeah, very much the spare.
Yeah, or like a Samwell Tarly, Dick on Tarly kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. And so he kind of says, like, look, all I want is to get back in there and to like to take over from him, because he's a tyrant and he's cruel. You know, I want to bring all these people back in. I want to bring you back in. There'd be no witch hunts. You know, all of that. And she seems to take him at his word. She's like, okay, I can help you. You know, and it's kind of, we kind of get the, like, you know, by now you must have somehow realized what you have to do.
Yeah.
At which point,
the very premise of our podcast at this point.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, see, this is the thing, when it's a better song and you're like, here's the lyric, it's like, oh, and with this, it's like,
oh,
here's the fucking lyric.
But that's the problem. Your pitch is too good for the song.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's so kind.
You're welcome. I forget sometimes how mean I am, because and I only remember when people react really shocked to me saying nice things. I told a production coordinator once she was pretty but tough, like beef jerky in a ball gown, and she said it was the nicest thing I'd ever said to her. Yeah.
Thank you for saying...
This is too good for the song.
Great. And so this entire section of it is basically just the two of them, like, telling, various stories to each other that you get, like, you see, like, in flashbacks, and it's that same camera quality of the slow-mo and the and the single cello playing and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so we will hire Gavin Free and whoever the other guy from Slow Mo Guys is to do those, because they do real good slow-mo.
Yeah. And they'll be like, can we flick a highlighter? And it's like, no.
No,
we need to film this scene.
They did all the slow-mo in Dread. Like, they are actually very good, like, professional camera people.
No,
I have
no doubt.
Yeah, so we're getting stories.
Yeah, so she's kind of preparing for the ritual, and he's like, what is this ritual? And she's like, I'll explain in a minute. Just let me tell you the story of how your father took this land 70 years ago. And so, you know, she kind of tells a story, and we see flashbacks of this horrible, horrible war. And she's explaining, you know, he killed my family, and he ruined my mother. And we see the mother in visions that he's kind of shown. The mother is also being played by Lupita. And he's like, right, okay, my dad really fucked you over, essentially. And she asks him if he's, like, prepared to destroy his family in order to liberate his people. And he's like, yes. And she's like, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be painful. The legend says that the prince who'll bring down the wall will be broken and blinded by his journey. Mm. And he's like, no, I want to do this.
I'm ready.
He's like, yeah, I'm going to be the king. And so she's like, cool, we're going to start the ritual. The cat is Mort again at this point.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, the cat was... What? That was the whole time? And
no.
Mort's like, yeah, I was the cat. Like, could you not tell? The ritual basically is that, so there's an enchantment on the wall.
A wonder.
Yes, there's a wonder placed on the wall, and she's like, the only way that we can get in is if I can have sight into the castle, and I can kind of see through the eyes of the charlatans who took this land from us originally. So I'm gonna need your eyes.
Okay.
Yeah, basically the ritual kind of ends up that, like, you know, they have to take his eyes. And, you know, we get a sequence that's very lighthousey in terms of the, like, you're just like, what do these images mean? Like, imagery that's fitting to the, you know, like, dead deer and, like, stuff like that. And, like, he's like, oh, God, I don't like this at all. This is so bad. Ah, no. And as she's kind of completing the ritual, she turns on him. Defoe in the lighthouse style.
Yes.
And she starts asking, like, do you know how these walls were built? Like, when your father took this land, do you know how he built this impenetrable wall?
Can I guess?
Go for it.
Is Mama in the wall?
No, not quite.
Okay.
But, like, that's kind of it's so she kind of explains that, you know, he made a terrible pact. And I don't know how, like, I can't explain the visualization that I have of this, but, like, there's, you know, like, shots that we've seen of this giant imposing wall, and the shots that we've seen from the dream with the mountain of bodies kind of, like, come together, and we kind of start to understand that the wall is built in part with the, like, the bodies of people that were...
So what you're saying is... They built a bridge of bones?
Yeah. I mean, not to like repeat myself, but yeah, they kind of did. So he learns that the wall is
boy.
and he's like horrified by these images. And she talks about the fact that her mother was the one who was forced to make the enchantment. That's why she's so pissed off about it.
Yeah.
So he's seen some shit and now he's blind. And we get, you know, a kind of we get some of his perspective, and it's just like blinding light everywhere.
Yeah.
Because the lights are blinding.
Yeah.
But now she can kind of warg brand style.
Yeah.
With any member of the Gallagher clan.
Ah. Because I was imagining, like, her just like yeeting the disembodied eyeballs over the wall and being like, all right, what can I see?
No. It's more of a symbolic thing of like, we need your eyes. It's like now she. Like, she eats them or something. I don't fucking know.
I like eats them.
Yeah. She eats them eyes. Yeah, so then I feel like what would happen is that she would kind of warg into, like, a, you know, like a cousin or something who's, like, a young knight who's, like, guarding the gates or something like that. And basically, like, what it is that she just, you know, mind control someone into opening the gates. And yep. It's like, we can open the gates now. Mort is like leading John by the hand out of the woods now, because obviously he can't see.
Yeah.
And he can hear people kind of... Yeah, it's a tricky thing where, like, this is all theoretically from his perspective.
Yeah,
but at
what
this
do you
point
do?
In the film, it needs to not be from his perspective anymore, because we have to see.
And also
because
kind
we're kind
of
removing
of
him.
The film,
as, yeah. Yeah, and, like, it's also that thing of, like, removing him as the kind of protagonist of the story. And kind of being like, this has never been about him the entire time. So we see, you know, everyone's preparing for battle. We see Lin and Noah are kind of like full-on warrior garb. Like, they're kind of leading the charge.
Strapped to body. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you kind of get the impression it's like, wait, this isn't like all of a sudden a savior came to them that would allow them to get back into the... Like, they've been planning this. This has been in the works for a long time. And, you know, they're all kind of revealing, like, under their, like, huts and stuff like that, they've got all of these fucking, like, blades or weapons or what the fuck ever.
Yeah.
And so they storm the castle, and he's being kind of led in behind with Mira
with
and
others.
Mort.
Yeah.
There's a battle that would go on for some length of time. And they're finally all, they've come to the throne room.
Yeah,
and
there's probably a mirror of that first scene with the slow-mo. Rackley and on the throne.
Yeah, exactly. And so what it is that she then, she kind of walks into John. And so she's like, I want you to see this moment.
Yeah.
And so we get that similar kind of, like, slow motion kind of vibe coming back again. And, she kind of forces him to walk up to his father, to Christopher Plummer, on the throne. And she kills him through...
controlling John's
body. She kills
body.
Him through John.
Yeah.
And so we get this moment of, like, finally, I'm defeating my father. But as the father's kind of... As the light is kind of leaving the father's eyes, the father sees Mira and is like, you! It's you! And John is like, what? How does... What does that mean?
Who you?
And then it kind of... because Mira's still kind of in his mind, he gets this flash of...
Memory.
Of, like, the images that we've seen from the, like, the
from
stories
the
that she's told
mother.
Him before. And he's like, oh, that wasn't your mother.
It you.
It was you.
Mm.
And... It kind of comes through these images that she wasn't actually forced to make this enchantment,
but that she did an alliance that went sour.
Yeah. That what it was that she was kind of like, okay, I'm a witch. I guess I'll help you kind of do this. Mm. And then the thing that, as you say, went sour was that he then had her family killed, because he was like, no one can ever know that you did this.
Mm.
So. I'm going to kill your family and then I'm going to banish you.
Yeah.
And so from that she was like, well, I guess...
I'll have a shit one.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she is in fact much, much older than we thought. She's, you know... and he's kind of like, you were the one who... Like, what? But kind of is like, you know, they're now at the point where everyone else... Like, they've killed all the other Gallaghers. And he's
can I do a tiny production note then?
Yes.
I reckon just for clarity of meaning, in the initial flashbacks, you wouldn't have Lupita playing her mother. You'd have a different actress. And then when it's revealed that that's still her, that it was her doing that, you would replay those scenes, but with Lupita now.
Yeah. Or actually, like, that you only see her, like,
from behind. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, you know, her face is shrouded in everything and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you'd use the context clues to be like, oh, that's her mother, but it's not. Yeah. And then you have one of those, like you know, pan around to, like
Two
they
face.
Did with Hilary Swank in The Hunt, but it didn't work because we could all hear Hilary Swank's voice for 2 full minutes before it was like, look, it's Hilary Swank. And it's like, yeah, I know. She's top billed on this film and we hadn't seen her character yet. Obviously it's Hilary Swank. Anyway. That's our other side podcast, Hunting the Hunt. Yeah, so he's kind of overwhelmed by this knowledge, but is like, well, okay, I guess if it got me to be the king, then I
guess
I
gotta live with
it. Like, she instead, she turns to him and she enters his mind again. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of sees himself reaching out to destroy the throne.
Mm.
So, like, she like, as I don't, I, you know, she's a witch, so she, like, I don't know, it's, like, made of stone and she melts it or something.
Yeah, it probably
but through
crumbles.
His hand. And he's, like, and, like, you know, breaks the crown, all of that, like, all of the fucking symbolism. Like, when the dragon melted the symbol of...
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, he's now, like, howling with rage. He's, like, how could you, what have you done?
Mm.
And she's, like, I told
you... destroyed everything we fought for.
Yeah, and she's, like, I told you that... the prince who brought down the wall would liberate the people. I've helped you liberate your people. That's what you asked for. He's like, no, but I wanted to be king. And she's
the
like,
the final
those
step
two...
of liberation is the end of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And he's, yeah. So he's like, no, I don't like this at all.
Oh,
kind
no.
Of.
I didn't think the leopards would eat my face.
Yeah, exactly. And so she kind of leaves him screaming in rage and agony and general madness in the throne room, walks out to, like, a balcony where the you know, the outsiders and then also, like, the surviving common folk are all kind of standing, like, looking up.
Yeah.
And she speaks, and, like, she kind of speaks to them and is like, you know, you're free now.
Mm.
It's over.
It's over.
And the wall crumbles to dust.
Yeah.
Finn. And then we go out to a cello, like a single cello doing Wonderwall.
You've seen Portrait of a Lady on Fire, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that choir, but doing Wonderwall.
Yes. Yeah,
with,
yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
the clapping and everything. Yeah, yeah, no, I really like that.
Thank you. That's, I'm glad.
That is far better than the song deserves.
Yeah. It was that thing where I was like, the only way I can do this if I go as far away from
the song,
anything to do with the context of the song.
Yeah. You've also got me now very excited for The Green Knight, so I'm going to look up when
yes.
it comes out.
Yes. Well, that was, I did consider at one point having,
Dev
Patel be the prince, but.
But he's too good.
He's too good. Yeah, I couldn't see him being that little dumbhead.
It's just TBD now.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah,
but you know,
I want this move.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the pitch.
Yeah, that was wonderful. That was great. I really like it. I like that sort of creepy, like being able to do, because it's so rare that you get any sort of period piece that isn't a straight period piece. So actually doing something new and interesting that is not a King Arthur in a medieval space would be super cool.
Very much just like what fun can we have playing around in this context,
which is I think kind of like what they wanted to do with Miracle Workers season 2. I don't think they really nailed it, but like full points for trying.
All the points.
Full points for trying.
A plus for effort.
Yeah.
Shall we get shuffly in this?
Yeah,
in
let's
this
do this.
So what's the what's the shuffle round, Tansy?
Wait, you're making me explain it.
Yeah.
You piece of shit.
I didn't get enough sleep last night.
The shuffle round is at the end of the show. The person who hasn't pitched, in this case me, comes up with three super quick pitches to other songs by the same artist.
Which in this case is Oasis.
Oasis.
Ha ha.
Mm.
The tricky thing with this is that every Oasis song is the same song.
Yeah.
To the point where you can pretty much, all of the like
I'll
well-known
just pitch
Oasis
your
songs.
Film.
But you can play them all to the exact same chords.
Mm.
Like you could do just like one verse after another of all these different fucking, and it would just you'd be like, yeah, that's the same song, right?
Mm.
Your first shuffle round song is "Look Back in Anger."
You mean...
Don't Look Back in Anger.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it? Don't?
Look Back in Anger is the fucking name of the one.
Okay, I have... an incredibly dumb idea.
Good. I love it.
Okay. You're familiar with the myth of Orpheus, right?
Yes.
So imagine, like, played absolutely straight, a modern film where someone's ex dies in presumably comedic circumstances, like Eleanor Shellstrop in The Good Place, taken out by a heap of shopping trolleys trying to pick up mm-hmm. a 2-liter thing of margarita mix. Yeah, so dies in a dumb way, and this guy who had previously dated her, who let's just call Noel, was like, oh, maybe I can win her back. Maybe I'm going to go to the underworld and win her back. And, like, he's probably an indie musician. Goes to the underworld, he's like, I want my girl Sally back. And Hades is like, dude, what? And he's like, I heard I can do this. And Sally, who is actually kind of enjoying being dead, because I assume the underworld is quite an organized place to be dead, is like, oh, no. And then it's like...
No, Sally can wait.
No, imagine a road movie, but the road is just you walking behind your ex-boyfriend for an hour and a half trying to get him to turn around so you can go back to the underworld.
Don't look back in anger, except do look back.
So that's the thing. She's like, I cheated on you. I hate your parents. Like, just trying to convince him to give up on her.
I want
to
watch that movie. That's the funniest thing. I love it. Alrighty. Second round mm-hmm. is cigarettes and alcohol.
Okay, I've got an idea. Mm-hmm. And it's just like I wasn't much alive in the 90s. I didn't have much going on at the time. So I don't know if this seemed normal back then, but everything about this song feels very like trying to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm stealing another film's premise here. Are you familiar mm-hmm. with The Lure?
No.
So that was about a bunch of sirens who become Europop idols.
Oh, I love it.
So this instead would be a bunch of aliens who come to Earth in the 90s and like are meant to be doing a research mission, but decide that instead they're going to form the best band of all time.
Oh my God.
So it's like aliens trying to do human music. And,
yes.
I mean, and they're like, what does human music like? Cigarettes and alcohol. I assume one of these aliens is played by Taika Waititi.
Yes,
it's good. Just the Flight of the Conchords guys and Taika as aliens trying to run a band in the 90s.
Perfect. Because I mean, I like all of the lyrics of that. All of the lyrics of Oasis songs in general are like, did you steal Rivers Cuomo's Encyclopedia of Pop?
Yeah, and in this one in particular, like the pronunciation of the first word doesn't feel like a real human.
Yeah.
What word is it?
Imagination.
Yeah. It's like it doesn't feel like how humans talk.
That's okay. So yeah, final round. Yeah. It is of course Champagne Supernova. How many special people change? How many lives are living strange? Where were you while we were getting high? Slowly walking down the hall. Okay, I'm just going to seize on one of the lyrics for this because the other pictures were good, so this one doesn't have to be. The line, where were you while we were getting high? Mm-hmm.
Imagine the hangover if they were high while trying to solve all of the clues. So
instead of just being hungover, they were...
High over.
Okay.
No, like, you do it as, like a detective movie. Like, you're absolutely in these characters' heads as they are all very high and very paranoid and almost, like, cinema realist to start with, and they're just like, where did Liam go? Where's Liam? What happened to Liam? And then, like...
Hangover so much as it's just like a stoner detective film.
Kind of, yeah. And like they're trying to work out what happened and they're getting all these clues and building up like a big thing. Liam is definitely off getting garlic bread at Domino's. But
yeah, at the end, Liam comes back and they've like destroyed the entire
apartment. I assume they've rear-windowed and decided that their neighbor killed Liam, and so they've like gotten the police involved and planted all this evidence.
Amazing.
Yeah. So and stoner and detective. And it stars
Dylan Moran. Alrighty, that was great. Yeah,
thank you.
We've done very well for a garbage artist. Yeah, we're 4 for 4 with elevating these songs. Mm. I'm proud of us.
I'm proud of us,
you know, like,
too.
Like, last week it was tricky for me because I had to try and elevate Dua Lipa songs.
Yeah,
and
which
they're
is
already
hard. They're already perfect. So high, yeah.
Do you know, I had a, this is unrelated, I had a dream that took place in the video for Physical.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's quite a video, I can see that
it
happening.
It is. I don't really remember what was going on.
There's a director's cut of the music video, which makes no more sense. It's not like it tries to add a storyline that was taken out. It is the Snyder cut of music videos. Yeah. So, this is just longer. This isn't better. It's just longer.
Release the Dua cut. you seen they want to get the Aya cut out there? Just David Ayer all over Twitter is like, if you could see my cut, you'd realize it was actually a great film. It's like, shut up, David. It was never going to be a good film.
Have you got any films where you really do want to see the original version? Because I've got one, but you're going to laugh at it. So
is it How to Train Your Dragon?
No, it's How to Train Your Dragon 2.
I mean, that's essentially I did get that right.
Yeah, because in the original version, because the film that came out, it's like, oh, his mum's in it. And there's this weird kind of nothing brown villain, and just the pacing's a bit off. It's a kind of odd sequel. Mm-hmm. But in the original version, it was basically Empire Strikes Back, but his mum is introduced as a sympathetic character and then slowly becomes the antagonist. It's not even that she's revealed to be, it's that she's pushed over the edge and thinks that they're the ones who are going to destroy peace for dragons and things and she's convinced that people can't
that
change.
That actually is rad.
Release the Dean DeBlas script. I know there's not a cut. I know there is never going to have been a cut of that, but give me that script.
I'm trying to think.
Dean DeBlas, if you're listening, give me that script.
I do have one. It's also dumb.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy's cut of Venom.
Yes.
Because you know there's those quotes where he's 80% of his favorite bits got cut.
Yes.
And they were all the really, truly off the wall.
Let Tom Hardy recut Venom.
Yeah, I just want to see the cut of Venom that's all of his favorite bits where he's just
And also I assume that because he's not an editor, this film won't have any temporal continuity, but that doesn't matter because neither does the actual film. So it will just feel
smash
cut of deleted scenes, but I'd watch it. I'd watch the hell out of that.
Because my whole issue with that film, I was I actually kind of like this film, but I think it needed to actually commit to being
a comedy.
Yeah. And to being a rom-com. About
a man and his alien.
About a man and the special guy inside of him.
Oh, and don't B, you love the no homo bit when he makes out with Venom, but they make sure Venom looks like a girl when that happens?
It's Lady Venom. It's like, no, he's making out with Venom.
Venom is inside him, guys.
Yeah.
It's not straight. It's not a straight movie.
It's a very gay film. Yeah. And Tom Hardy knew that.
Yeah. Tom Hardy was the only person who understood what film they were making.
Right?
Yeah.
I think, I mean,
so let Tom Hardy
of Riz Ahmed understanding.
Cut Venom. Okay, so one of the many things that in Venom I was just like, how did a professional film crew make this, was the fact that they hadn't exposed Riz Ahmed properly in one of the very scenes. Like his skin is just flat and dark, and I'm like, did no one know how to light non-white actors Hollywood set.
Yeah, how did you get to the point where the kind of second most significant actor in this
is
you didn't even you were like,
lit.
Well, don't know how to like this guy. Oh
yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Look, it's not a good film.
It's I fell asleep during
but
the motorbike
chase. But in some ways
chase.
It's a perfect film.
Alrighty. Where can people find more Venom fan theories from you, Charlie?
they can find me talking exclusively about Venom
on Letterboxd.
They can't. I'm on Twitter at @GarlZochady. If you find my Twitter, you can also find my Letterboxd. It's Charlie OG or something.
Yeah.
Where can they find you, Tansy?
They can find me on Twitter at Tansy Clipboard, where I post shit and Delta Request. So basically, what I do on this podcast, and I'll chuck my playlist of this episode up there for music your
Amazing.
Dad likes.
Amazing. Yeah, you can find the podcast on Twitter at PitchShiftPod. We're the same thing on Instagram. If you'd like to chat, if you'd like to make a request, if you'd like to issue a correction that we won't care about, you can email us at PitchShiftPodcast@gmail.com. As always, we love you all. We think you're all great.
Please stay safe.
And we hope that you too can find your Wonderwall. I don't know. I was like, how do I bring back to the end?
This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri, Wiradjuri and Boonwurrung people. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.